Let us pray. O God, you know that we are set in the midst of so many grave dangers, that in the frailty of our nature we cannot always stand upright. Grant us your strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through every temptation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. And all God's people said, Amen. A man who smelled like a brewery flopped on a seat at a bus stop next to a priest. The man's shirt was stained, his clothes unkept, and half a bottle of wine was sticking out of his torn coat pocket. He opened his newspaper and began reading. Needless to say, the priest became uncomfortable at the smell and appearance of his seatmate. After a few minutes, the disheveled guy turned to the priest and asked, "Say, Father, what causes arthritis?" In his annoyed state, the priest retorted, "Mister, it's caused by loose living, being with cheap women, too much alcohol, and contempt for your fellow man." "Well, I'll be," the drunk muttered, returning to his paper. The priest, realizing the error of his comment, apologized. "I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to be so rude. How long have you had arthritis?" "I don't, Reverend. I was just reading here that the Archbishop of Canterbury does." Last week we looked at Jesus' sermon in his hometown of Nazareth. He preached the sermon about his life from Isaiah there. This week, we look at part two of that experience. And what we see is that Jesus' audience of family and friends didn't want to hear what he had to say. And why? Because the acceptable year of the Lord was for everyone, including the Gentiles. To the Jewish people, this would not do. You see, their mentality was that only the Jews needed saving. The Jews needed freedom from Rome's oppression. They wanted a Messiah like King David of old, a warrior. The last thing they wanted to hear were words of grace for all peoples. In other words, Jesus did not look the part. He did not act the part that they wanted Messiah to play. Now, as I mentioned last week, I believe Jesus wanted to invest in his relational capital here and begin to build his family on mission here in Nazareth. But his extended family in Nazareth utterly rejects him, so much that they tried to kill him. Yet they did not succeed because this was not Jesus' appointed hour. The cross was still before him. But the rejection he faced in Nazareth foreshadows the rejection he would face throughout his ministry and ultimately in Jerusalem, where he would be crucified. Yet Jesus had to come down from rejection in Nazareth to Capernaum. He had to come down from their refusal and their denial of who he was and what he had come to do for who and what God had prepared for him. So finally, at a town on the Sea of Galilee, he would build his new family. This morning, let us examine Jesus' descent from Nazareth to Capernaum. Let us fathom his coming down from rejection. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Luke chapter 4, verse 22, found on page 617. Now, Nazareth is about 1,145 feet in altitude. Capernaum by the sea is 682 feet below sea level. Let me say that again. Nazareth is 1,145 feet in altitude. Capernaum by the sea is negative 682 feet. Long before Garth Brooks, Jesus had friends in low places. Amen? So when I say Jesus comes down from rejection in Nazareth to Capernaum, I mean so literally. But I also mean so mentally. Because rejection is a high hill that so many people never come down from. It consumes them, it affects them, and how they live their lives and how they relate to others. And they can't move forward, they're stuck. But we see in Jesus the example to model when we face rejection. We must come down from that height, and we must seek out new relational capital. You know, last week I spoke about the smallness of Nazareth. The estimation is that it was about 100 people. What I didn't say was this. It is believed by scholars that Nazareth was full of folks descended from David's royal line. Not just Joseph and Mary. Nazareth was a safe place off the beaten track to keep that royal line preserved. We all might remember the words of Gandalf the Grey here from the Fellowship of the Ring. Keep it secret. Keep it safe. Nazareth was a good place to grow up for the son of David. It was simply nowhere, and something so very good came out of it. All this is important to our passage this morning, because right after Jesus concludes his sermon on the acceptable year of the Lord, two things happen. First, the people spoke well of him and his words of grace. But secondly, they took another look at him, and they said, "How can this guy be the Messiah?" You see, Jesus certainly didn't fit the image that people had hoped for. And as the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. "Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't he just one of us? How then can he be the one? This guy? Really? This guy made my kitchen table. This guy used to play hide and seek with my brother." With this, we see how quickly praise can turn to rejection. For usually the famous hometown legend is honored and respected. There's a name put on a water tower. But that's not what happens here. But Jesus is not silent. He pushes back against his extended family. And he says, "You will undoubtedly quote me this proverb. Physician, heal yourself." Meaning, do miracles in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum. "But I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown." Now many prophets in Israel's past had been rejected. Jesus, the prophet of all prophets, is no different. But this rejection is not at a distance. It's up close. It's personal. There were faces attached to this rejection. Faces that he knew full well. Faces that he had a personal history with. But still, Jesus doesn't hold anything back. He's come to proclaim the good news. God's grace would not be limited to a select few. He continues on with this. "Certainly there were many needy widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine devastated the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent instead to a foreigner, a Gentile, a widow of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, but the only one healed was Naaman, a Syrian." Now, have you ever spoken the truth and it got you into trouble? It happens to me all the time. But the people of Nazareth are upset because Jesus highlights God saving the Gentiles. Jesus' words of grace are for all people, not just the Jews. And this was simply unacceptable to the village of Nazareth. God was saving the wrong people. How dare he? How dare he do that? And as a result, everyone jumps up, they mob him, and they force him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. And if you see this place, it's a huge, steep drop-off. They were going to push him off from that high place, but he passed right through them. And he would come down that height by means of another way, for his hour had not yet come. The cross was before him, and he would go there eventually in God's due time. But my friends, imagine that walk for Jesus from Nazareth to Capernaum, from 1,145 feet above sea level to negative 682 feet below. Imagine that descent. As he walked away, he was being rejected by those whom he had loved. The relational capital he had known. The relational capital he had built all those many long years, and this was the reward. But he leaves a tiny village connected to the royal line of David, and where does he go? To Galilee of the Gentiles. That's where. Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee was the Jewish frontier, my brothers and sisters. Galilee was on the main trading route called the Way of the Sea. It's beautiful. Say it with me. The Way of the Sea. And guess what town this trading route went right through? Capernaum. Jesus' extended family rejected him in Nazareth. Fair enough. He would build a new extended family beginning here in Capernaum. It was here that Levi, the tax collector, left everything to follow Jesus. It was here that Jesus performs an exorcism at the synagogue. It was here that Peter's mother-in-law was healed. Jesus put down roots in this town. He built relational capital in this town. He began to build his family on mission in this town. Jesus had moved on from the rejection in Nazareth. He would now have a new hometown in Galilee by the sea. And when you go to the ruins of Capernaum today, guess what? There's a sign that says this: Capernaum, the town of Jesus. You won't see one that says Capernaum, the home of Simon Peter, or one that says Capernaum, the home of Levi. Just Capernaum, the town of Jesus. You see, Jesus had come down from rejection in Nazareth. He had a new hometown whose physical location testified to the sermon that he preached in Nazareth, the sermon of his life. God's grace would be for all, for both Jews and Gentiles. And Capernaum's location and way of life embodied precisely that. What a great place to build relational capital. What a phenomenal place to form a family on mission. There was a man walking along the North Shore Mountain Road in British Columbia, and he saw a man lying with his ear to the ground. As he approached the man, he heard him talking. Chevy pickup truck, large tires, green. Man driving with large German Shepherd in passenger seat, loaded with firewood. BC license plate 830 EJE. The other guy was astounded at the man on the road. He asked, "You mean you can tell all that from listening to the ground?" The man on the road replied, "Ear to ground, nothing. That truck just ran over me." My friends, rejection very much feels like you've been run over emotionally. It can also greatly impact you physically and spiritually. I remember one time in my life where I struggled with rejection for an entire year. I couldn't come down from that high heel. I couldn't build new relational capital. And looking back at that time, I didn't have a family on mission either. My friends, we all face rejection to varying degrees. But in those times, we must remember how Jesus dealt with it. He changed scenery. He invested and built new relational capital. And the result was he got a new family all together that ended up doing the stuff with him all over. But today, if you find yourself in a Nazareth-type place, please know that you can come down from that high hill of rejection. Please know that whatever relational capital has been ripped from you, has been torn away from you, God has something better in store for you. Amen? Follow Jesus' example and come down and see what the Lord has prepared. And today, if you find yourself in a Capernaum-type place, please know that you must continue to build and to invest in relational capital. You may find yourself in a low place, but give it time. Jesus made Capernaum his neighborhood. He was rejected by his extended family in Nazareth. He then became incarnational and made Capernaum the base of his operations for his ministry. And his new family on mission began to take shape. And it didn't happen overnight. Most things in God's kingdom happen very much organically. It takes time to invest and to build a family. But as a family on mission here, in San Antonio, three streams must discern and help people come down from the high hill of rejection. You see, there are scores and scores of people living in a Nazareth. Recent studies have shown that the pain of rejection is not so dissimilar from physical pain. In fact, some research has revealed rejection triggers pain sensors in your brain, meaning it physically hurts. Severe rejection can even lead to depression and violence. And this reveals to all of us that we are designed to belong to an extended family. People are looking for a place and for a community in which to belong. This is a big, big deal in our culture, belonging. But to belong somewhere, to belong to a community, there must be a commitment and an investment to relational capital. In other words, people have to know your face. They have to know your name. They have to know you. And I love how Luke depicts the humanity of Jesus in his gospel. If even Jesus needed community, how much more than we? Therefore, I'll never get those people who say that they follow Jesus, but are not part of the local church. If Jesus needed a family on mission, then we certainly do too. Amen? You have to believe it. You have to. And of course, families on mission are never perfect. Take a look at Jesus' family. Peter would deny Christ three times. Judas would betray him with a kiss. James and John would ask if they could sit on either side of Jesus in his kingdom. The sons of thunder. Thomas would doubt. The list goes on. We need to be very clear, and we need to be very real with each other. Families aren't perfect. People mess up in the church all the time. I mess up in the church all the time. We must forgive. Love must abide. Say that with me. Love must abide. Love, man. It's good stuff. And if we actually practice it, it's going to be powerful. But as we walk in faith, stepping into the future that the Lord has for us, as a body, as a community, we can be a Capernaum for many, many people. We can be a place where folks rebuild relational capital. We can be a family to whom they belong. We can be a community where they find a welcoming love and a strong, strong purpose. By God's grace, may we be a Capernaum for people who are coming down from their Nazareth, coming down from their high hill of rejection. Let us pray. Creator God, who in the beginning commanded the light to shine out of darkness, we pray that the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ may dispel the darkness of ignorance and unbelief and shine into the hearts of all your people. Help us so to live out our days that we may be signs of your wonders in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.